Welcome to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. The fallout from the sexual harassment scandal at Fox News continues. Co-president Bill Shine is the latest to leave the network. Although he wasn't accused of harassment himself, a growing number of women at Fox News claim he was very aware of the inappropriate behavior against them and did nothing to address their concerns. This dismissive attitude by a top executive doesn't surprise Lilia Cortina. She's a professor of psychology and women's studies at the University of Michigan. And through her studies, she's found even though more and more workplaces have ways to report sexual harassment, women don't use them. Let's find out why. Lilia, it's good to have you with us.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Now, you have studied how often people who have been harassed at work report it to a superior. Only a quarter to a third report, and only 2 to 13% file a formal complaint. That's kind of eye-popping. Why so low?
A big part of the problem is that many women and men as well fear the repercussions of complaining. They fear disbelief. They fear being retaliated against. They fear being dismissed and minimized. And unfortunately, through research, we know that those fears are well-founded.
Certainly the kinds of headlines that we're hearing, the pattern of corporate behavior that women at Fox News are describing,
exactly.
Pretty typical. So when people, not just women, as you say, but people try to report something, it's dismissed, it's poo-pooed, or even worse.
Correct. In one study where we looked at responses to a variety of types of complaining or speaking out against sexual harassment on the job, we found that around two-thirds of people who did speak out were retaliated against in some way, either professionally in terms of some kind of negative change in the job situation, or socially. So they were ostracized, they were shunned, they were treated as troublemakers.
Oh, you get that label. You know, it's interesting to note, too, the news stories focusing on Shine's departure, the fact that Fox News is elevating an executive named Suzanne Scott in his place, and she's been accused by some Fox News women, even in court, of trying to intimidate them or suppress their concerns. And that same accusation has been leveled against the network's chief lawyer, Diane Brandy. So that gets you thinking about company cultures and how they discourage people from reporting harassment, even as they're saying, you're welcome to come to HR.
Correct.
Is that window
Correct.
Dressing?
So we know, again, from research that one of the most powerful predictors of whether sexual harassment happens and whether people report the harassment is the organizational culture around sexual harassment. Are complaints taken seriously? Are harassers penalized in some way, proportionate to the level of the offense, but is there some kind of negative repercussion for the people found guilty of engaging in inappropriate behavior? And on the other hand, are complainants retaliated against?
It seems that companies have got to get beyond saying to people, report it to HR. What are some concrete actions that companies should be taking to send a very clear message that sexual harassment and abuse will not be tolerated and that people can feel safe to step forward?
If someone has to fear for her job, were she to report her boss, then that's not an effective mechanism. It would not be reasonable to report in that context. So there should be a safe reporting mechanism that results in some kind of action. There should be also multiple reporting avenues, both formal and informal. And the informal piece could be, for example, having an organizational ombudsperson that you can speak to in confidence to find out your resources, to find out what avenues of recourse there may be. It does not have to all revolve around formal reporting as the only way to address the situation.
Because once you've taken that big step, then what? So this kind of lets people kind of begin to gently move toward that in feeling safe. I would imagine that having a lot of different people possible that you could go to. So if I want to say something about a supervisor, there is a choice and I could go to someone with whom I feel comfortable.
Correct. Having multiple options, having the avenues of reporting be flexible, having both men and women you could report to, having people that speak your native language. English might not be your first language, so reporting only to management that only speaks English might not be reasonable in some contexts. Companies should design reporting systems with an eye towards encouraging people to come forward with complaints about any kind of offensive behavior, not necessarily behavior that rises to the level of a legal violation, because the company should intervene before it gets to that point. Policies around reporting should not include language around penalties for false complaints, because research also shows that most sexually harassing or other kinds of harassing behaviors do not get reported. There's very little evidence that false complaints are the least bit common. There could be the occasional one, but not common enough to build a whole policy around it. So the language in the policy should be entirely focused on encouraging people to come forward and reassuring them that it's safe to come forward.
Well, it'll be interesting to see how all of this evolves as the attention is paid to this kind of story. University of Michigan psychologist Lilia Cortina, thank you so much for being with us and sharing your work with us.
Thank you for having me.